88.9 WLRY. It is our pleasure to have joining us special guest right now, Greg X. Volz, and welcome. Thanks for talking to us today. Well, let's start with how you came to join Petra. Way back when, Greg, what year did you join?
I met Bob Hartman in 1971 when the first Jesus rock band in the U.S., E-Band, was playing in Fromke Park in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Bob was playing guitar for a little group called Dove. And we were doing an outreach in this park because of this youth pastor at a church there who loved people meeting Jesus. I'll just say it that way. And that was the first time I met him. And then they said, well, guy, you know, we've been doing these things, and we're okay, here's the way it starts. In 71, shortly after that, might have been 72, I get a call from John Lloyd and says, I want you to play at Adam's Apple in Fort Wayne, which was a coffee house. This is for E-Band.
Mm-hmm.
It's 300-seat coffee house. It was a big deal. And between the time that I told him yes, our guitar player ended up with the Milwaukee Jesus people after this revival in Duluth, which was 3,000 people got saved in 40 days in sub-zero weather. It was one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you know, the band's not, you know, doing anything right now. He said, well, if you have to come yourself, you're coming. I said, I'm bringing acoustic guitar. He says, come on. And I get there, and he tells me, hey, I got these guys that are going to this church Bible school, and they're going to open for you. They're really loud. They're the two guitar players and drummer bass player, and this is their first gig. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. And what are they called? He said, I don't know. They think they may call themselves Petra. And I said, okay. So Petra opened for me their first gig
in
1972. This is when the band started in 72. And so at the end of the concert and the ministry and everything, Greg and Bob come up to me and they say, okay, man, we talk. Okay, yeah. We think the Lord told us you're supposed to be our lead singer. I went, what? And so anyway, and then they sent me a tape later and said, here's our songs. And then they said, okay, we got a deal with Word Records. And I was a worship leader in a small independent church in Missouri, in Springfield, during that time, married and raising a family. And I just said, guys, I can't do that. So they kept sending me tapes, and I was kept in contact with them. And they did their first album. And then in their second album, they were doing in January of 76.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 weeks before I got a call from them, I got a call from Mario Speedwagon in a recording studio called Golden Voice, which is a big deal in Illinois, where, I mean, Dan Fogelberg, Mario Speedwagon,
yeah,
Ida Crouch, Petra, blah, 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 recorded albums there. Anyway, and the Wombats, my first band, are on the Hall of Fame there because they were the first band that ever recorded the Golden Voice in 1965. That's another story. So I get a call from Mario, and I say, no, I can't do that, but it was a real deal. Six weeks later, I get a call from Petra in the same studio in the middle of the night, and they say, and their manager, Dan Brock, says, dude, you've got to come help us. This is not going to work unless you can come. And I heard the Lord speak to me in that voice that, like, you know, your mother's voice. And he said, okay. So I got on a plane the next morning and went up, and I think I sang for 15 hours and did all the backups on, like, six songs and two or three solos. And then I went back to Springfield, and then I get a call. Hey, we're doing this show in Chicago, and we'll fly you up. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I started doing dates with Petra in 76. And it was not much of, I mean, it was a weekend here. It was a weekend there. All the guys in the band worked jobs. There was no circuit. There was no big music industry at that point. There was Southern Gospel, which I didn't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it started. The most interesting thing is that my father-in-law, who was the pastor of this church who I was the worship leader in, told me that he would sponsor me as a missionary to the United States so that I could work with Petra. And I say that because I made $800 the first year I worked with Petra, and I paid all my own expenses. Now, they were very happy about that, but that was God. And he said, I'll make sure your rent is paid and you got food on the table. And I said, okay. But said, I want claim for some of those souls, because, you know. So he enabled me to be able to work with Petra in the early years when it was the band was on, the band was off. Between 76 and 1980, I think we went to 14 drummers.
Oh, my goodness.
Until Louis finally showed up, and unbeknownst to us, the Lord had spoken to him that someday he would play with Petra.
Right.
So anyway. But in, when I sent the coloring song, which was an E-band song from 1971, along with Never Say Die and one other song to Daryl Harris, he called me on the phone and said, and I quote, Greg, this is Daryl. I said, yeah. He said, I got the tape. I said, yeah. He said, this is God. I said, what? He said, this is God. We need to get the band in the studio right now. And I said, what band? Mm. And he, we don't have a contract. He said, I don't care. And in 6 weeks, Never Say Die was recorded. And the coloring song went to number one on every single chart for 6 weeks, including Southern Gospel.
Mm. Yeah.
And Petra became a 10-year overnight success. You know what that means. I get, and then, so we had a number one song and no gigs. I'm still in Missouri. The rest of the guys are in, I think, Nashville at that time. And Jim Pollissieri, the guy that was the head of the Milwaukee Jesus people, called me and said, hey, we're doing this world tour with Servant, and Barnabas, our opening act, is three of the wives are pregnant, and they're all delivering for this first leg. The first leg was 3 months. He said, and I asked the Lord, who we're supposed to get? He said, get Petra. And so I went out, borrowed money at a bank, bought a van with a 15-foot box truck with a van nose, customized it, built it, set it up. We could travel with six people, and we went hit the road. And in 1982, we were on the road 300 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And everything just went through the roof, yeah. All the way up to the big arena shows in 1985, where I don't know how many thousands, tens of thousands of people came to the Lord during those times. But we did have actually follow-up during those last 84 and 85, which is really good. People didn't want them in the early days, man.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jesus movement during E-band and early Petra, they didn't want anything to do with those long-haired rocker people. Why? They play those voodoo drums, man.
Yeah. The resistance to Christian rock in the beginning, you were there for that, right?
Oh, my gosh. I have scars. Still have scars. Oh, bless my heart. Yeah, they were sending us to hell in a handbasket. I mean, we were of the devil. There were preachers, I mean, big-time televangelists that used names from the pulpit on their television shows, you know, Petra and Rez Band, and they were all from the devil. Meanwhile, we would have 150, 200 people a night being saved at the concerts. I mean, it made first-time commitments.
Mm.
Not to mention the recommitments, which is where we are today. I'm working with CPR stands for Classic Petra Resurrection right now. It could stand for, this mix next year, maybe it'll stand for Classic Petra Revolution. It could stand for cell phone repair. We don't know. But in 2010, after me not being with Petra for 25 years, the band, the old band from the 80s, got back together, and we toured for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a publicist, none of that. But it really was doing well until our guitar player decided he didn't want to be on the road anymore. And so he checked out, and we said, well, we'll wait on it. And then CPR, Classic Petra Resurrection, was basically reinstituted in 2017 with John and Louie and I. Paul Carson is playing with us right now on guitar, who is in another band, and Kirk Henderson sometimes, who was at Greg X. Bull's Rivers Rising guitar player, and Greg Bailey, who is also a Petra player. And it's like, we just want to go out, and the reason I'm saying this is that the focus of what we're doing is that the old music is reaching prodigals, people that came to the Lord during the Jesus, mid-70s, early 80s. And Petra had an incredible influence on them because of the music. It encapsulated the gospel in the lyrics. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
That word does not return void. It stays in there.
Amen.
So then, meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of believers become members of the Hell and Back Club. And I'm telling you, it's no fun going through it. But when you make it back to the other side, there is nothing that's going to stop you from serving the Lord with all your heart. We are finding that prodigals are showing up at our concerts like you would not believe. and testimonies that it would say, that's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why we're out doing what we do. And my old partner, Bob, has his Petra band, the other band.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out and do different, you know, the newer stuff. We do the classic Petra music, which there are many millions of people that heard it and love it. So
yeah.
That's what we're doing. And that's because I actually got a commission from the Lord to say, and I said, why are we doing this, Lord? Why am I doing it? He said, prodigals, clear as a bell.
Mm.
Go rescue the perishing. There are prodigals out there. This music will reach them again.
Yeah.
Go get them. So that's what we're doing.
You see many generations at a Petra concert or classic Petra Resurrection concert. Why do you think those songs, Greg, still resonate today with all those different generations?
Why does Journey's old songs resonate with people, or Foreigners or Camp resonate with people? It's because they have a timeless vibration to them. How about that?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of it, kid. Vibrations are real. They were real in the 60s, and they're still real now.
Right.
Yeah, man. Cool.
Yeah.
Somehow, the music, the sounds, the lyrics, the hooks especially, have an imprint on the soul like nothing else that I've ever seen. And when coupled with words that are eternal, like the scriptures, they are then imprinted on the spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be removed? That's in there forever. I grew up on, Roy Orbison, Everly Brothers, The Beatles, 64. That was changed everybody's life. And if I hear a Beatle tune, I can sing the whole thing.
Mm.
My subconscious remembers all of that. So the purpose of what Petra did with the Christian rock was to be the gateway between the people that grew up on rock and roll that then can give them the substance of the Holy Spirit that would be a life-changing thing rather than just a soulish emotional experience. If you've ever walked into a room where there was something weird going on and said, honey, let's leave. This does not feel right.
Mm-hmm.
What's a bad vibe?
Right.
You know, and believe me, Satan is real, and his tricks and his traps are real, and he uses everything to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. It's a gentle, loving, peaceful thing. And that's what draws people to the Lord. That's what drew me to the Lord, was his love. Not the fact that if I didn't receive him and decided that I was going to live, that I would end up in a pit somewhere in hell. That's a choice. But it's the love of God that draws men to repentance, according to what I've read.
Amen.
So. Yeah. These songs are full of encouragement. Yeah, there's a couple things like Judas Kiss, which we still do. You know, we do the best of classic Petra.
Yeah.
And you can't do them all because we'd be there for 5 hours. And the voice only lasts about an hour and a half. And it still works good. And yes, I can still hit the high notes.
I know you can. I was going to ask you about that. How do you keep that voice in shape?
Well, I actually take care of this temple. How's that? I'll say it that way.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean I don't get tired, and it doesn't mean that sometimes I don't get hoarse or whatever, but, I really am careful about what I put in my body at this point in time.
Mm.
And, you know, when I was younger, I could drink Pepsis and Coca-Colas, and it didn't mess with me. But you know what? I'm not doing that anymore because I realize what's in that stuff, and
right. It's
not good.
Yeah.
And when you're older, your body doesn't heal as fast as it used to. So
you
have to be careful with what you put in it. But green tea and ginger and honey in the morning is a really good thing. Greens and apple juice and water. Of course, there's always carrot juice. And, you know, you just have to. I believe your body will tell you what's good for it.
Well, May 11th, BMI Event Center in Versailles, Ohio. BMIEventCenter.com to get your tickets. And you got a couple CDs at your CPRband.com website. Back to the Rock and Back to the Rock 2 are currently available there, right?
They are. They're sonically, they're some of the best sounding records that I have ever made. I mean, they just brought it up to today, and it's still the songs are still great. So there it is.
Yeah.
Hey, we'd love to see anybody that wants to come out and I'm going to say Party with Jesus. How's that
Amen.
Sound?
Amen. Greg X. Volz, and thanks for joining us today.
Okay. God bless you, Mike.